Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome to the Advise Show on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight's subject, the keys to success. Now, we have, as always, Ms. Gabriella on the line. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, we also have on the line, I'm going to bring in Mr. Alvin Garrett of On the Spot Tax Services. He wants to give you guys some tax tips, because I know you're trying to get them big old income tax checks and do some wonderful things with it. So let me bring him in. How you doing, Alvin?
Man, I am doing awesome. Good evening, everyone. My tax tip for today would be documentation. The thing that the Internal Revenue is looking for this year, as maybe even in the past, but more so this year than any other time that I've known, is that we have to document everything that we do, especially those of us that are self-employed or that are in businesses that are required that we use our own monies or our own vehicles in support of that business. But they are looking more so for documentation in those areas. So the Internal Revenue requires us to have receipts for most things. But one of the things that is exciting is that with meals, that we don't have to have the receipt if that meal is a business expense and it is less than $75. So we have to make a documentation for that day, what that meal pertained to, if it was a business meeting, what you discussed, and who you met with. That's the only thing that we need. We don't need the receipt, but we need the documentation for that meeting. The other things that we keep, the check, the actual checks for any business expense that we pay with a check. The Internal Revenue cares nothing about that bank statement. They want to see where that check was paid at the bank and who that check was written to. So that would be my tip for today. As always, On the Spot Tax Service, we're located at 4300 Griggs Road, Houston, Texas, 77021. We would love to help out any way that we can with any questions that we may be able to answer for your listening audience.
Okay, well, let me ask you one question, Mr. Alvin, is this. Why is the Internal Revenue Service being so strict on paperwork today?
Well, because the Internal Revenue, they estimate that they're losing about $21 billion annually that's paid in error for earned income credit. So they are really cracking down on information. You know, they're checking everything. So because they realize that the money that is that they're paying in excess would go towards reducing our deficit. So they're trying to cut into that any way that they can.
So this new trend of the Internal Revenue cracking down on paperwork is not going away no time soon?
Oh, it's not. It will never go away. It's only going to get more intense. So the biggest thing is that we just have to we have to do those things that are decent and in order. If they say that we need paperwork, we need to make sure that we're getting that documentation together.
Now, if someone uses your service, do you have what services you offer to help them out from being audited?
Well, we have the year-round bookkeeping service. We have the audit protection service, and with both of those, the bookkeeping service, we stay in contact with that customer year-round so that we're able to even look at what their trends are, to give them recommendations of what they need to do in order to be able to make whatever they're doing legitimately tax-deductible. And I give you just one quick example. That Internal Revenue that they will not allow you to write off your cleaning bill if you're at home. But if you go on a business trip, whatever you clean on that business trip is tax deductible. So if a customer have an expensive jacket that they want to get clean, take it on that business trip with them, have it cleaned while they're out, and that cleaning bill now becomes tax deductible.
Okay. Well, you sound like you are very knowledgeable, and that's what everyone needs, someone who's knowledgeable. You sound very professional and thorough in what you do. And do you have a website that people can visit also, or maybe a Facebook or a Twitter?
Yes, we do. Our email is alvin@otstaxservices.com. Our web page is otstaxservices.com. Or they can reach us by phone at 713-581-1790.
Okay, Alvin, well, sure. I thank you for joining us and letting us know to make sure we have documentation on top of documentation, even document our dog if we can.
Most definitely. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listening audience, and you have an incredible, incredible day.
All right. You stay brisk, brother.
All right. Same to you now.
All right. So, everyone, if you need some taxes done in the Houston area, Ms. Gabriella has put in the link to otstaxservices.com, so you can go check them out and see if you got all your documentation in order, if you can get that big fat refund that we always look forward to for the rest of the year. So, now, yeah, I know we're always looking forward to it, right, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about the little income tax ballers.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's funny. It's like, boy, they be balling all outside when they get that income tax.
Then you always see them little hood rap, them little hood flyers, and they'll be like, income tax party.
Yeah, you ain't lying. It's like, you know, these chicks get like $6,000-$7,000. On income tax, I mean, it's like they hit the lottery once a year, and you can't tell them nothing.
Get the hair, get the new weaves, get the nails, get some new outfits. For some reason, they don't use that money to pay off their rent for a whole year, which they could.
Or make a dent in their car notes, because a lot of them got car notes. They'll make a dent in that, or they say, you know what, I'm going to buy my kids their lunch for the year, or some they take advantage of that, you know, lump sum of income. Or another thing, you know, a lot of people say that, well, I'm a firm believer of taking vacations, okay? And I believe every family needs a family vacation at least once a year. I never, and a lot of times, you know, some single mothers will say, well, I don't have money for that. Well, why don't you take, you know, a vacation once a year with income tax money? That way Uncle Sam puts you, you know, on the plane, puts your kids to Disney World, have a good time. I mean, everything. You know, you could do it off of income tax money instead of coming out of pocket for anything. Instead, like wasting money on stupidity instead of, you know, give your children some sort of outing or, you know, on the government. I mean, there's so many things that we can do to enjoy ourselves with the income tax money and take advantage of it. So...
I think it's actually pretty funny, but, you know.
It is funny, but we just don't take advantage of it. I know my mom used to take advantage of it all the time. She was paying bills off. It just wasn't no point blank. Bills getting paid off.
And that's smart. Like, if I, you know, if I had the opportunity, since this is the topic of the show, the keys to success, when you get that income tax check, especially with the rent that we have these days, my rent is about $635 a month. If I was to get $7,000, you know, for my income tax, that's enough to pay off my rent for at least. I could probably pay off. Let me see, $7,000 divided by 6,000. I could pay off my rent for 11 months if I really wanted to.
And that would be awesome. I mean, like, you think know? About it. You don't have rent for 11 months out of the year. That would be that would be great. I mean, take advantage of the hard work of people like Mr. Alvin Garrett and pay off your rent or pay your car note. I mean, that's something you could do also instead of, or, you know, trying to get your car, hurry up and pay it off. I just don't get people sometimes when they just waste their money on income tax.
It disgusts me. It really does, because you can, instead of sitting there and continuing this cycle of poverty, you can take that money and use it to get out of the hood. You can use that money to move across town, get a better life for your children and for yourself. You could use that money to pay off your car, pay off your rent. If you pay off your rent for 11 months, you can take, you know, after that rent is paid off, you can take the money that you were saving from, you know, from working those 11 months. You can take that money and use that, I don't know how many, some that maybe $600 to $1,000 that you're spending on rent. You can take that and invest it into something else.
Or you can actually take some of that income tax money and invest it into some sort of certification or degree program that you, maybe financial aid won't cover you all the way, but hey, you got $6,000 to $7,000 now, and you can invest in your future, and that way, you know, you will constantly be making money. You know, and you won't need those income tax like that anymore. You'll be getting like $1,000, maybe $500 income tax checks, because now you're making good money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's so many things that, you know, when you use your head with certain lump sums of money, you could take advantage of. Like, say, anytime I get a lump sum of money, I take advantage. I don't just start throwing money and acting a fool or, you know, buying this or buying that. I really, you know, don't do that. So, now the topic, keys to success. So, Ms. Gabriella, let's start off with, let's say, what do you define as success?
To me, success is when you've basically gotten to a point where you don't even have to work very hard. It's almost like you got people working for you and all the things kind of just fall into place, because what you did was, before you got to the point where I call success is where, you know, you have money rolling in constantly. You don't have to worry about, you know, you're not worried about job security. You're not worried about getting fired. You're not worried about, you know, something happening and everything just going away. My way of defining it is when you sit there and you really invest in yourself and your personal growth, be it you investing in your education or you're pushing towards a goal, so that when the time comes, you're able to just sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Now, this is something I believe in. I believe that you're successful before you actually have the tangible results. Do you believe that?
I don't think so. I mean, I could say that someone is a, I would say that somebody is a driven person or a goal-oriented person. I can't define success without someone having some type of tangibles, because meaning if you are saying, oh, I'm a successful person, but you are sharing a bunk bed with your mom, I wouldn't, and you don't even own a bicycle, let alone a car, I wouldn't really say, oh, that person's successful. I mean,
so basically what you're saying is you define success by the tangible goods, the car, the job, the, you know, anybody can see, oh, wow, you made it. That's basically what you define as success?
Pretty much, because you can't really say that, you know, you have success if you don't really have anything to show for it. That's like me saying, okay, I'm a world star, world-renowned chef, but I don't know how to cook. Like, if I haven't shown anybody any of the things that any of my dishes that I can make, how can I say that I've made that, like, you know, that I've made it there yet?
I don't know. My thought process is a little different. I've learned that what you think about yourself, that's what you're going to ultimately become with time, because you're going to subconsciously actually make the choices to make sure you get to that point. And that works for the good and for the bad. If you feel in your head that you are a failure, you're going to subconsciously make sure that happens. So if you think that, yes, being driven is a part of it, being ambitious is a part of it, but you have to look at yourself as this successful person who has made it, like you said, way before you have anything that somebody can say, oh, look at what they have now. They are the man. They are the woman. That's just kind of how I personally feel about that. Like, I'm pretty sure somebody like Bill Gates thought that his particular program was just something that was just going to take off, and that's why he invested, you know, his time, even left college because of it. So I know he saw something about himself to say, you know, I know I can do this. And it's all, to me, it's all in the mind, because, you know, to me, the tangible things are just a fruit of how you already think about yourself.
So you're saying it kind of has to do with self-esteem and the way
Self-esteem is how you feel about you. I'm saying how you think, how you literally think about, mm-hmm. you know, your direction, where you're going, and stuff like that. Like, for instance, you could take somebody like, let's say, I would say Michael Jordan. Before anybody knew who Michael Jordan was, in his mindset, he knew that he was a good player. He knew it was something special about him. He knew it before anybody even knew who the man's name was. Okay, and with time, people saw it. Yeah, they will see it, but the man was driven, you know, ahead of time. The man was even, like, cut from his high school team. But yet, he still did the things that he, you know, done in his particular career. And that's, I think, the greatest thing with people. If you can get a person with that mindset, like, they're going to make some of themselves and they won't let it go, you're not going to stop them. They will make it. But to me, it's part of, you know, it has to be in the mind.
Mm-hmm. All right, so by that definition, I actually understand what you mean, because I know that a lot of people have like this kind of loser mindset where they'll be like, oh, well, the system's against me. I might as well not even try because it's not going to happen. And if you were able to change your mindset, that's when things start to fall into place because you actually start to push towards that goal.
Yeah, because subconsciously, whatever you think about yourself, you're going to make sure it happens. So if you think you're a loser, if you think you can't do anything in life because the system's against you, then you're going to make sure subconsciously you make the choices to keep yourself being in the position of a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many studies that bear that out. So when it comes to being successful, I always say it's not, you could be your mindset, you could see like, I'm going to be a millionaire and be sharing a bunk bed or eating ramen noodles. But if you got that drift, that drive, you got a determination that say, no, I'm going to become a millionaire. I got this business idea. I got, you know, this, you know, I'm a great chef. I know I am. I just haven't had my time to shine yet. I'm a good speaker. I'm a good this. I'm a good that. You're eventually going to get there, but you have to think in your mind first, that's what you already are before you become that.
Hmm.
But that's my opinion. And I've seen the results, just me personally, I've seen the results of people doing that and how they actually turn out in the end.
Oh, yeah, because anything is possible. Anything. Like, you don't even have, if you're a driven person, it doesn't matter where you come from or whatever. You know, you can come from very humble beginnings. You can come from sleeping on a mattress on the floor to becoming a multimillionaire if you actually work towards that. And a lot of people, they have these dreams, but they don't know, but they're not driven enough to be able to accomplish it. For example, there's a boy in my class, typical Negro. I know it's going to sound bad, but he wants to be a rapper. And his little thing is that he wants to take popular songs, and then you'll have like half of the popular song playing, and then he'll throw in his couple of bars, and then the song will finish. And he thinks that he can, he doesn't know how to market his stuff. He's going around trying to sell CDs out of the back of his car, and I'm like, that's not really a good marketing strategy.
Not in this day and time. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Ms. Rebecca, let me ask you, you on the line?
Hold on. I got to hold on. Am I on the line now?
Yes, I got a quick question for you, Mr.
Becker. Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay, when you was, you know, we was back home, did you see yourself like where you're at today way before you got there?
I saw myself being successful in something. I didn't know it would be in media. I thought I was going to be a superstar school teacher / model / this / you know, all of that good stuff. I never thought that my voice of reason would be getting in front of a camera. I had no idea at all.
So basically, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You thought yourself to be a successful person way before you was that.
Absolutely. I knew I was going to be somebody.
That's the point I kept getting there earlier. So so people's greatest downfall is what they think about themselves, correct?
In my opinion, I would agree. I think a lot of people have a lot of fear. They have great expectations. I mean, so many people, they have great expectations, great proposals. But when we come with an execution strategy or even how we going to put our toe in the water, we get scared. And so they use a lot of their roadblocks as hindrances, where to me a roadblock should be an opportunity for you to cross a path nobody has ever gone to before or made a journey to before. That's my opinion.
And what's some of the common roadblocks people like to throw up?
Oh, geez Louise, I was on a panel last week. A common roadblock is the race car. I'm a female car. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth card. But if you look at the people that are successful, when I say successful, they own organizations. They own Fortune 500 companies. They didn't grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth. You know, a lot of them came up from the bottom to the top, you know, so they knew no other way but to go up and succeed.
Mm-hmm. And that right there is just, I keep saying that, it's like whatever you think about yourself, that's what you ultimately going to become. And that's why I stress that so much. It's like, you know, Ms. Gabriella was saying earlier, she kind of looked at it like a little earlier before I brought that point up, that she looked at the results, the tangible goods. But there's a lot of people who have tangible goods on credit.
Oh,
and they book.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree. I agree. Uh-huh. I agree 200%. I know a lot of people that look good on paper. But when you ask them to execute something or if they have access and influence, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad, you know, trying to keep up the Joneses or whatever, having this false sense of success.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Because to me, you're not successful if you can't use your access, and your access could be knowing the right people. Your access could be having the right resources. Your access could be to being the cash man, because every successful business had a cash man who was able to invest in their project. And if you aren't using those three tools to help others, to benefit your community, to enlighten somebody trying to get there, what's the point in having all of those resources and tools to engage?
Exactly. I could not agree more.
You might as well put them in the trash can and burn.
Exactly. You know, and then some of these people who they say they want to be successful, but they're not willing to put in the hard work to get there either.
I agree. I agree. And that's another story, but I don't even want to go into that. That's going to have my school teacher come out, and that's not the platform for tonight.
We just have a laid back platform here, so it just, I mean,
you can talk as long. We got 2 hours, so you can go ahead if you really want to.
Oh no, I'm not gonna preach on y'all tonight.
Oh, but I know people like that they say they want to be successful, but they want people to give them a handout almost. Like they want someone to sit there and literally hold their hand every single step of the way until they reach it to the top, and they don't want to actually put the time and effort in.
I can agree. I can so agree. I can so agree. But it just goes back, you know, from what I've seen and my experiences. A lot of times these people are terrified. They're scared to, you know, discuss some of the opportunities that they are working on because they feel as though when they go out, they are going to fail. And to me, some of the greatest things that I've learned is failing and regrouping to make my opportunities better for myself the next go round. I think some people or scared of failing, so they don't put forth the effort to execute.
Yeah, failing is not something that we... Oh, Lord, that's not nothing that we want to do. And you know, because you know how many times people have been successful, they failed many times.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. It's like they had companies closed on them, they had people do them wrong. All kind of things. But eventually it paid off because every time you fail, it's a learning experience. This is what I've learned.
I agree.
You assess what's wrong. You assess even the part of it that you did wrong. And then you say, okay, well, I'm not going to make this mistake again. So you gain nuggets of wisdom. That way you get to the point that you won't make the mistakes anymore, and then you're going to, you know, be successful and be flawless.
I agree.
This is why people who win the lottery always lose the money, because they never learn the steps along the way to maintain that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because sometimes it's actually easier to get the success than it is to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes a lot of energy to hold on to the things that you have. Like, sometimes people get to that point where they get lazy and they get sloppy, and that's when people start to mess up. It's like, oh, well, I'm already good, so I don't have to work as hard anymore. Or, you know, I can take a break and I can just get sloppy and lazy and nothing's going to happen. And that's when they end up having their companies close down on them and then are never able to recover.
And my thing is, I always tell people, always think somebody go take your spot. That's how hard you need to work. And if you have that mindset, you will be successful.
Hold on, Rebecca. Rebecca, you said work to the point that you feel like somebody's going to take your spot?
Absolutely. You think you go work so hard that you think somebody going to take your spot. So that means you got to be creative. You got to put in extra hours of work. Like nobody, for an example, nobody can take Beyonce's spot. Why? She's always creative. She's always innovative. People are always waiting for her to come with something, something new, something fresh. So that's a perfect example.
Yep, you gotta stand. You know, you gotta stand out. But also, you know, I've learned too. You got to be yourself. And if you be the best you out there, then nobody can duplicate you.
I agree.
No, there's too many people that will look at Beyonce and will try to be Beyonce. You know,
no,
and try
I'm
to.
I'm not saying I'm talking about a work ethic. You know.
Oh yeah, work ethic. Oh yeah, you gotta. Well, you know, anybody who has something, you gotta be a hustler about it. You gotta stay. You gotta sometimes burn the midnight oil and wake up with the chick. Got to if you want to have something.
And that's what I'm talking about. That work ethic.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who, you're right, they what's destroying them is their work ethic. They're lazy. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do much. They want the results, but they want to put in the hard work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even talk about, you know, working hard and getting the capital to do things too, because everything has capital.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I so agree.
So, you know, it's like we just want to make sure the listeners know that, you know, tonight that, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, I feel hard work to even be successful. I mean, because if that was the case for everybody to have it, then it'd be easy. Anybody would get it. Anybody would be living in a mansion down the street or they'll be living in, you know, Silver Lake out there in Sugar Land. So, well, not Sugar Land, Pearland. Big $250,000 house. Like, you know, like my cousin stay out there, and, you know, like, I mean, when they moved out there, and she got an awesome deal on the house. Oh, because she's a realtor. And she got the house, it was a model home. So it already had the furniture in it. All she had to do was add $10,000 more to it. So she got like a 5-bedroom home, 3,200 square feet, you know, 2-story. And, but, because I said, you know how much money this would cost to furnish this house? I mean, you walk in, it had, you know, it had the stairs that go up on both sides.
Wow.
I mean, that's how her house is. And she only paid like $210,000. But you see this house, I'm telling you, you would think that she paid way more for it than that. And like I say, my cousin, she came, you know, from Port Arthur, just like us. And she didn't have much either. She grew up in a single-parent household.
Uh-huh.
Even my father was over, you know, was watching over them at one point in time. And that's how bad it was for them. And, you know, she does wonderful. So, it's not about, you know, where you come from. It's about, you know, your drive, your ambition, and being professional as well, you know, and it's going to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why a lot of times I want to, you know, especially some of our brothers to understand, you know, because some of our brothers are set back and they want to, you know, put some blame in areas that I think is counterproductive to having something. And like mm-hmm. you said, you know, yes, we understand racism is out there. Trust me, it is. But also, you know, you not doing what you're supposed to do as a man, that's another step that's, you know, killing, you know, us, especially mm-hmm. as men. You know, and not being responsible.
Yes, I agree.
So, Rebecca, let me ask you a question. Some of the men you have worked with in the past, do you think the men are more hardworking or the women? Your experience.
My experience, I'm going to say the women are.
And why is that?
That's just from what I've seen. I've been in an educational arena, so in most cases, most of the teachers in public school are women. So that's what I've seen part of the climate. Now, if I had more instructors, I'd have more to gauge from. So that's why I'm getting my analysis from.
Now, do you feel, and this is something I definitely want to hear both, because both of you can relate to this question, do you feel a degree define you as successful or not?
You know what? I have this discussion all the time, and like I tell people, I use my education to engage, to influence, and provide access for people who don't have it, for people who are ignorant. And that was the basis of education when it started with Socrates. However, sometimes I have to put it on paper and put all of my credentials for people to know that I have received this opportunity not because of what I look like, but my presentation and experience on paper.
Okay, and now, you know, you're a person that have dual degrees, correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, I thought so. I just wanted to make sure, though. So if anybody listening, I'm saying make sure, you know, hey, that she knows what she's talking about. So.
Well, that's kind of like, that's how I feel about education. I don't think that you have to have education to be successful, because I've seen people mm-hmm. that actually are self-educated. They actually, because knowledge is free. These days, you can look up, there's a website that you can go to, and you can look up tons of textbooks. Project Gutenberg, and you can look up all kinds of free college textbooks. So you can educate yourself at home. It's mm-hmm. more, you know, as long if you're an articulate person, if you're charismatic, if you know how to network, if you, you know, if you just have that drive, that's what is going to help push you. But you actually do need a degree to help back up some of the things that you say. If you don't have a degree, mm-hmm. If you don't have that, you need to have some type of experience or some type of documentation to say that, okay, I may not have a degree, but here is what I've done. Here's pictures. Here is some type of documentation. You can go to this website and see what I've done. You have to have some way of saying, okay, this is what I have to back up what you say, because you can't just go around saying that you are a successful person or you have this and that, but you don't have anything to show for it. Because in this day and age, people are all about, they're very visual, and they want to see what you have. They can't, you know, if you go to a doctor's office, you'll see them have their all their diplomas and awards and certifications on the wall for that reason.
Because mm-hmm. you want to see that. And if they don't have it, you're terrified.
Now, it depends. I think it depends on what field you're in, because I can agree, yes, you need to have a degree on certain things. Then I could disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's say a field like the petrochemical industry. A lot of times some places want you to have a process technology degree, correct? But then you can come to those places and have that degree, but yet they would rather take a guy who has 7 to 10 years experience, and he may not have the degree. You got the degree. You show you have the bachelor's degree in this, but this guy has experience versus what they can't teach you in a school. I've seen this happen so many times. And I was explaining, I think earlier this week, you know, I've seen people who don't have a degree, and yet they're making six figures a year.
But you know what, it's a catch 22, Phillip. But mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what I read in Russell Simmons' book, Do You. He said, I may have a high school diploma, but everybody on my team got an MBA. Because I know I can't run Russell Simmons Communications. I can't run Factform. I can't run Kamora Lee's Enterprises without those people having a marketing degree, a law degree, an accounting degree. And that came from him. He said,
I can agree with that.
And he said, look at every successful person who may have a high school degree and they're a CEO, but look at their direct right-hand man staff, highly credentialed, highly excelled.
I can agree with that.
So, you know, that's a pearl that you can also look into as well, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, like, for instance, if you want somebody to do anything for you, you want to go get somebody who is good in the field and have proven work, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if somebody's going to market something for you or whatever, then are they going to sell something for you? Well, yeah, you want to see, well, let's see your track record. Let's see, you know, what your results are. I mean, it's point blank.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got a question. Y'all maybe can help me with this, and maybe like let me know if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Recently, and this is one of my things. I was thinking recently that you know maybe I should look more into public speaking classes. Do y'all think it'll be a good thing for me?
Oh, I think it's very important. I actually took public speaking classes myself, and I ended up getting some awards for doing speeches and things like that. In this day and time, being charismatic is very important. The way that you talk and the way that you are able, like, it really has to do with, like, how you're able to get your point across. If you are able to speak very well, that's a very, very marketable job skill. If, you know, even if you're not going to become some type of professional, what's it called? Like, there's people that go around and do like speeches and things like that. Even if that's not what you're trying to do, people still like to listen to people who are just very articulate. And so I would suggest that you go into that.
Rebecca, what's your opinion? Because I've heard two different opinions on it, but I want to hear your opinion.
I agree. I think those are pearls that can always be perfected.
Because let me tell you the other aspect I heard. I heard that, well, you say you could go into the public speaking class and just to, because I've even researched like some tutors that actually come and actually work with you on it to help you to improve on your skills, right? And okay. But then also I heard, well, you know, you don't want to change who you are too much because they, once you get into that, you're going to start kind of changing who you are just a little bit based on, you know, the way that you're being educated.
But I know in public speaking, when I was in school, I know when I was in public school, they tell you certain techniques on, you know, when I watch the news, when I watch the president speak, it's certain techniques he used to engage the audience within 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was taught when you do public speaking, if you can't engage your audience within 2 seconds, you lost them. So those are public speaking pearls. Those are things that you learn, and there's different ways of that. And I think if you're trying, especially in the industry you're in, it would be wise and mindful, you know, to get those basics so you understand and you know how to inform, engage, and promote to your audience.
Okay.
I'm not saying change personality, but, you know, just certain, you know, basic tips.
Okay, so basically what Ms. Rebecca telling me and Ms. Gabrielle is look more into that tutor. It may be a good thing for you.
Oh, yeah, like there's just certain ways of saying things. Like for me, I actually went into studying Latin, and I went into studying like ancient Greek writing, so I could actually use that and bring that up in conversation, because that's something that's very important as well. That just has to do with networking, which is also another important thing. If you're able to, like, if you're in conversation and you're able to quote Shakespeare, or you're able to say, oh, well, or you're able to bring up something that Socrates said, that may be, like, that may be the one thing that's able to get someone to say, okay, this guy's really smart. You know, I'm going to try to see what he's about. And, you know, that's opened a lot of opportunities for me. So not only is public speaking important, but it's also very important to read and to, you know, forget about what people say and say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's old stuff. Nobody cares about Aristotle. Nobody cares about Rousseau. Nobody cares about Socrates. Nobody cares about these things. People do. And
I agree.
You know, that's one way that you can help push yourself, because a lot of people will be more willing to listen to someone who really sounds like they know what they're talking about.
Well, let me tell you my personal experience. You know, a lot of times, and I've had a few years of this. Like, I used to, back in the day, I used to actually sit down and write any type of commentary I would, you know, would do. And when I would do that, it would be well thought out. I'd make sure it looks right, it sounds right, and everything. But it didn't have much, it was too, I'm going to say, written out for me. But when I went into just getting into the emotion of what I'm saying, and not write it down, just go off of the emotion I'm feeling at that time period, I have noticed that people like that more from me than they would like when I would actually write things down. I don't know if you get what I'm saying or not, Rebecca?
I totally do.
I mean, because it's like, when I'm just like really upset, or I'm really bothered by something, and I give a commentary to it, that's like what people like. Versus if I'm just going on a, you know, well, you know, Martin Luther King said this, or Malcolm X said that, or, you know, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. I noticed that people are looking for you to be genuine as well in the process. And you want to talk like Obama? I mean, like, Obama, he speaks very well. Don't get me wrong. He speaks very well. But, like, also, to me, he doesn't connect with me enough sometimes, because you can kind of see, you kind of feel the not genuine nature of what he says sometimes also, because he's so good at just saying what he's saying. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
It depends. I understand.
But I think it depends on the audience, because
I was getting ready to say that.
If Obama is going into a black neighborhood, he kind of drops down into this black preacher tone. But when he goes and addresses the whole United States, he'll talk in a totally different way. And so it really depends on the circle. Like, it depends on where you're at. Like, for me, if I got invited to meet the president of my school, I would talk a certain way. But if I was going to give a speech for somebody who's in my age group, I couldn't sit there and try to sound extra, extra intelligent and throw out all these SAT words, because a lot of people would just get lost. So it just depends on where you're at. I mean, you can still, just because you're very charismatic and you're able to really get your point across and it sounds very nice and professional, doesn't mean that you're lacking personality. If anything, that actually will help you get your point across better, because you're able to really voice what you have to say. Like, sometimes the speech classes will teach you how to go through this thought process so that you can figure out what you want to say and you can figure out the best way to get it out there.
Any thoughts on that, Rebecca?
I agree.
Well, like I said, I was telling the wife about it. So I guess I'm really looking forward to getting more into this tutor, because like I said, I got something in the works going on with somebody actually want me to come, you know, speak somewhere in a few months. We're trying to work that out, and that'd be new for me. And like I said, I feel comfortable, you know, expressing myself everything. And I've had classes on that, you know, in the past. But, you know, how I speak on YouTube is more of a laid-back way of doing it. And I'm just kind of just getting into the topic. I'm just being me. But or how you want to present yourself publicly in front of people who really don't know you, that's, you know, that's what made me kind of think about it. You know, trying to decide, but, you know, because I want to see if I can get a tutor to come tutor me at least once a week, or, you know, get or at least sit down with me with my videos, watch them, and say, okay, well, let's work, let's talk about this, let's talk about that. You know, I don't know, I thought it would be a good thing, but, you know, y'all helped me to make that decision. And also some of my Texas slang, I got to get rid of it. I keep thinking about it. I have to get some of this Texas slang out of my mouth.
Oh, you have to learn how to do that, because I know how, like, for me, I'm a chameleon, so I know how to go from, like, I can go from speaking a totally different language to, you know, speaking like I'm from, just speaking like a regular person. I can use any slang like everybody else, depending on my environment, and it's very important. Like, sometimes you can't just, you can't say, you know, you, like, you say a lot. There's a phrase that you always say that is, somebody did me something, or I don't know how to say it, but, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't say things like that, depending on where you're at.
Exactly. Like I said, one word I'm trying to actually work on getting rid of now is y'all. I've been using this since I was a child. So I'm trying to work on not using that word anymore, because it makes me sound like I'm just come from Texas. And also, I'm trying to think about how I, you know, say things and how I present them. But it's going to take me time to get that out of my system, because I've been doing it just for so long. Not to say it's right, but I've just been doing it for so long. Because I don't want to sound like, oh, he comes from the sticks of Texas.
I mean, you can still have that. You can still have a little bit of your Texas slang in there, but you have to learn how to not use it as much. Like, my stepfather's from Africa, and he still keeps a lot of his expressions and things like that, but he knows how to tailor it for the audience. If he's in a board meeting, or if he's doing a conference call with, you know, his job, and they're talking to, well, he works for the World Bank or whatever, but, you know, he can't sit there and use phrases from Africa in that situation.
No.
Because, you know.
Well, I'm gonna say this much. Like, if you let me go on an interview, okay, anybody interview me, I can speak in a way that I would not even use contractions. I will purposely not use contractions in my language and directly look at you and speak and not bat an eye. I know how to do it when I have to. But, and I understand what you mean. Like, basically, you have a language for everybody, and you have a language for the rest of the world. Now, how I speak on YouTube videos sometimes is more of my laid-back, you know, voice. Now, if I'm speaking to someone in a business sense, let's say when I talk to people on the phone with business, I'm not speaking like I would speak on a YouTube video commentary. I don't do that, because I'm like, God, this guy don't have a lick of sense. You know, I make sure I, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. I make sure to, you know, express myself the way they can understand me. And, you know, I remember before I was told this, and it used to offend me at one point in time. He'd say, you know, you are the friend that a white person would say that they have a black friend. That used to bother me.
Why would they say that? That's kind
of
funny.
And I asked them. I said, "Why would you say that?" They said, "Because they said you don't." They said, "Not to be offensive." They said, "But I can understand everything you're saying, and you know you're real. You know you're a real smart guy." I say, "Well, now black people are like what you see on television." I've said that before, and like I have like a lot of like white people. Like even like one guy on my job I had. He would come up to me and ask me all kind of, you know, questions about things that he just heard growing up, about racial questions. He said, "You know why I like asking you? Because you can just articulate it very well while I can understand it, and you don't get offended by it or anything like that." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, you're not calling me a name, so I can articulate that, you know, to you in a way that maybe you can understand." Actually, he said he didn't know some things that I told him. I mean, because he was very intrigued. It's weird that some people are just so intrigued about your people group is not even funny. And then I feel when we have an opportunity, instead of getting upset by it, maybe we can talk to them in an educated way where they can understand it and maybe get rid of maybe some ignorance they may have in their mind.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, I learned so much. I learned so much on this show a lot of time. Y'all just don't know. But let me see. I have two calls that just been sitting here for a minute. Now, I just saw them. One has been here 7 minutes, another 6 minutes. Let's see. Miss Rebecca, are you going to stay on the line or are you going to keep
listening? I'm a listening.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. But thank you, Rebecca.
All righty. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you.
704 area code. Hello? 704 area code, 704. You on the show? I guess not. Area code 661.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
My name is Antonio, and I just wanted to call. First, I just want to ask you, what happened to your website? For some reason, it was offline. Are you working on it, or?
Yeah, I got some things. Yeah, I got some things I'm working on it right now. But it'll be back up.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, no, I just want to congratulate you on your website and your show. I wish you the best on your show, and I like the subject what you was talking about tonight and stuff. I just wanted to know, is your theme for your show? I mean, for your YouTube and your webpage, are you going to be talking about like ratchet stuff and like or opinions on the news? I mean,
well, it's a little of. It's a little of everything. I mean, it's like I talk about the news. I'm not one person to be just one-dimensional. I've never been that way. Like, you're not going to case me on what I'm going to do. Like, the moment you learn me, I'm going to switch on you. That's just kind of how I've always been. So when I say news, my website is going to be more so news and entertainment. And I keep saying that. That's the direction I want to go. Because, so you will come get your information. And also, some entertainment as well. Same thing with YouTube. I kind of go on the preface of entertain, inform, inspire. That's kind of what I do in anything I do, really.
Oh, so you will talk about entertainment stuff like sports and movies?
I don't. Well, I'm going to say this much. I don't get into movies. I don't get into sports because I don't really have a whole a knowledge about sports because, I have a friend of mine. He's awesome. He knows every stat in the world when it comes to sports. He lives on SportsCenter.
Hey, well, why don't you get him as a co-host or something like that? You guys can do a team effort on your show.
If I had a sports show or something with sports oriented, he'd probably be the guy I probably would like to invite because he knows the stats, he knows everything, he keep up with it better than I do. I'm more of a news hound, or trying to keep up with what's going on.
So you got to kind of stay
with what you're good at.
Yeah. And I was listening to you. You said that you were going to get, you were going for public speaking. That's pretty good. I was saying that your accent though is not bad at all. I mean, I'm from the north, so I don't have the southern drawl like you have. But I said you could use that to your advantage though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was telling I was speaking about this earlier that sometimes. And I just really admit that, my accent is so thick that when I used to just started doing videos a long time ago, I used to hate to hear myself because my accent is so thick. And it's man, how can I? And they have defense. They have newscasters that down here in the South, and you don't hear any Southern accent at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Go ahead.
No, have you listened to that woman? She's on Blog Talk, Yolanda Watts.
Uh-huh. No, I haven't heard her.
She used to work in the media field, but she has a radio show here on Blog Talk, and she has a southern accent too, a slight southern accent. But I always thought it was kind of interesting and cute to hear her speak and stuff. But it's, even though she has her southern accent, it's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, let's see, like, for instance, like, Miss Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, when you hear Miss Gabriella speak, you see how clear she sounds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really hear, like, versus, it's a major difference between me and her. I'm going to say that much. Major. I mean,
I have
like night and day.
I don't even know what my accent is like.
It's not, it's mine. Not even,
but it's not a, it's not even an, it's a weird accent. It's not really a northern accent. It's kind of a, I don't
Are
even
you from
know.
The Midwest?
It's like, no, I mean, I'm an army brat. So it's kind of like that weird military accent that it's like mixed in with everybody.
Oh.
You know? I mean, I've lived in Virginia, and I mean, I've lived in the South for a long time, but I don't know. It's just my accent is weird like that. But it's just like the way that I was raised. My parents were always getting on me about saying, "Okay, you can't say ain't, you can't say y'all, you can't say."
I wish I was told that.
You know, things like that, and you know, my mom was always teaching me words from the dictionary when I was a child. So, you know, that's just when I, as I got older, I just ended up talking like that. And then I'm also really well read, so that also has to do with the way that I talk.
I just want to make a correction. It was Rolanda, I believe was her name is Rolanda Watts. Have you heard of her? I think she used to be on Inside Edition like a long time ago. That's what I remember her from.
Oh yeah, that name does sound familiar.
And then she had like her own show. She had her own show too. Rolanda.
That name does, you know, sound familiar. It really does.
Yeah. Have you can tell her she's from the South because she has an accent too. But I was saying you could use that to your advantage. I don't think it's necessarily bad or makes you feel like, seems like you're ignorant or anything like that at all.
No, I feel like I get my point across. That's how I explained it earlier. Is like when I used, back in the day, when I first started, I used to like write down everything and articulate my video when writing it down. And basically I can just read off of that or remember it and read off of that. But for me, I've noticed that I connected more with my audience when I didn't write anything down and I went off of my emotion or how I felt at the time. And
well,
I think,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, that's fine.
No, you finish your statement, I'm sorry.
And I noticed the results of when I do that, and ever since I went to that format, that's when I noticed, you know, my viewership was starting to increase, more people watch. The videos I've been the most emotional in is like the videos that people have liked the most. And I'm genuinely like feeling that way at that time period, because this particular video has stirred that type of emotion out of me.
Well, I think that's the whole point of public speaking. People want to know the real you, and you know, even though you may want, you know, you feel like you need to change, I think that's, you hit the nail that it's the same thing as public speaking. It's like they want to know who you really are and what you're really about. You know, they don't want to hear a fake person. They want to hear a real person and how you really, you know, who you really are.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I go from the heart. You know, because if I write it down, I don't feel like I'm being, even though, yeah, it came from me, but I won't have the emotion in what I'm saying.
Well, if you write it down, you can write, like, pointers, like something that you want to talk about so you don't forget, but mm-hmm. You don't have to write the whole thing down, I guess, you know.
Yeah. I got you.
Go ahead. No, what other things are you going to do with your site? Like, what do you have planned on doing with your site now that it's all up and stuff, and you have the show? I mean,
it's all a work in progress. I mean, it's not something I'm going to reveal 100%, but with time, you know, if everything goes right, everybody will see where, you know, we're planning on going. I mean, you know, like I said, me and Ms. Gabriella got some things working over here, and we're definitely gonna take the show itself to the next level, you know, and that will be very soon. So we look out for that. We're working on all kind of things. So everything I do is a separate entity, from the show to the website to the YouTube. It's all separate, but it has one goal in mind. So
are you going to make any videos, like, outside from where you are, or you usually do videos, like interview people or anything like that?
Well, that's been my plan. I tested it out last year around on Black Friday, and the people responded to me very well. I actually enjoyed doing that because I can engage strange people. I love talking to them because I just, you know, joke with them and have fun with them. And, you know, more people, I've got a lot of feedback, and they say, you should do more of that. And so in order for me to do that, I got to buy another camera for that and get somebody to actually film it for me as well. Because I can't be, you know, filming it. I mean, if it was up to me, I told the wife, I want to go to Vegas and hit the strip. I want to go mess with people in Vegas. I've been itching.
Yeah, well, you could do it by yourself. You could be like one of those backpack journalists, you know, one man banning the whole thing.
Yeah, I got a camera in mind. Like I said, I got a camera in mind, and, you know, I got to find me somebody to film it for me and help me film, because I don't want to, like I said, do it myself, but. Yeah, it all come together. But like I said, all this stuff takes capital. It takes money. I mean, none of this stuff is free. Equipment isn't free.
Yeah.
You know, people's services isn't free, you know. And
even Blog Talk Radio is not free.
It's not free. Nothing is free. So you know, it's all coming out of pocket. I don't have donations coming in and all this other stuff. I'm not no corporation, so I'm a one-man band.
No, I guess that's the way you start at first. I mean, nobody's going to hand over anything yet. I mean, have you got any advertisements or?
That is something I got in the works.
Oh.
So we're working working on everything over here.
All right. Well, you're doing very good. So I just want to congratulate you.
All right. I appreciate it. Where are you calling from?
I'm up here in New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yes.
Is it cold up there?
Right now, today was pretty warm. I mean, it's cool, but it was a bright and sunny day. I mean, no snow, no rain. Everything's melting, so it was a nice day. And you know, the days are getting a little bit longer now.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that the other day. It was like after 6 o'clock, and it wasn't even dark yet. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, so you know, spring is almost here, around the corner, coming soon.
Yes, sir. So. You know, like I said, I appreciate you calling in. I still see this person. Give me a second. 704 area code, are you on? I guess this person's not on. Ms. Gabrielle, I've been having a 704 area code been sitting there. I try to let them on. They still don't say anything. So I guess they don't want to say nothing, or they just don't want to listen in.
I don't know. I guess they might be having a problem with their phone. Just let them call back when they're ready. But I think we should talk about networking and talk about how important that is, because what I was taught is that it's not what you know, it's who you know, especially in this day and time.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Because my parents always told me about networking. Like, that's just, you know, that's something that they've done. Like, that's something that they do. That's something that they are really, really fond of, because they're always talking to people, always getting to, you know, making new friends. And whether it is making friends with the plumber and referring a certain plumber to some of their business friends, or it is going to business meetings and just, or, you know, they sign up for this class. It's called Toastmasters, where it's a public speaking class that, you know, you pay dues to. And that's a great place to network. Well, not only are you able to improve your public speaking, but you're also able to meet different business professionals and make friendships that can help get you to where you need to get in life. I'm not saying that you should use people. What I'm saying is that you should make friends in the right places. And, you know, of course you can have, you know, you can have your little homeboys and your homegirls that you just hang out with on the weekends. But if you are on the road to success, it's important to make friends with people who have a similar goal so that you guys can work together and, you know, get to where you need to go.
I agree with that, but I also say that network with anybody you can that's doing something. I mean, I don't turn down people, and I don't judge people either when they, you know, want to network or want to get to know me or watch stuff or whatever. I mean, I've known people in a different type of industries. You know, some people would agree with these kind of people, some won't. I don't care. I mean, they people, that's how I look at them, and they got connections. You know, so I don't know. I mean, of course, no, I wouldn't network with nobody criminal. No, no, no. We ain't trying to get in trouble there. But, yeah, networking is the key. You know, some people, like you said, you can network, and some people you can't. But you can't network with everybody.
Yeah, you can't just network with everybody. I mean, I'm a very friendly person. Like, I'll talk to anybody. I'm not the kind of person who will say, oh, well, I'm too good to talk to this person, or I'm too smart to be seen with this person or whatever. But at the same time, I don't surround myself with what I just call them losers, just people who don't have anything going for themselves, don't have any goals, and all they want to do is kind of just hang out with you and trying to drag you down. Like, they would rather spend their time burning up all their money getting high and getting drunk. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing, depending on what state you live in, you can smoke if you want to, but that can't be your focus. And if all you want to do is just sit around and, you know, you don't really have anything going for yourself, you just kind of want to waste all your time, and you're not pushing towards any type of goal, I just can't be bothered with someone like that. Like, I had a friend that I had been friends with for about 3 months, and she just was all over the place. She was just engaging in all kinds of reckless behavior. She was very promiscuous. She didn't really want to go to school. She didn't want to work. She kind of just wanted to have a baby and live in her parents' house forever. And I didn't want to have too many friends like that, because all that's going to do is make me want to become like them, become like her, because there's an expression that says that you can wear white gloves and go play in the mud, and you're going to get dirt all over your gloves, but the mud will not be affected by you, basically. So, meaning that, you know, you can hang around with people who are very negative and they don't really have anything going for themselves, and all it's going to do is really affect you. It's not going to, I mean, you may have a little bit of influence on them, but for the most part, all they're going to do is just drag you into their loser lifestyles where they're just not really doing anything. And then 10 years from now, they'll still be doing the same exact thing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's why I believe in keeping your circle small and tight. That's just what I believe in. I believe in that, because that way, you know, you don't have, because when you have too many friends, too many people coming into your life, you know, you just can't do that. I mean, you just got to know who you're talking to, what they're about, and usually people who's trying to do something in their life, they're not going to be a bunch of people doing it, believe it or not. It's just not. So, you know, that's, you know, also, even not even, they may not say, you know, be doing something per se, because everybody got their lot in life, you know, because what I deem as what a person should be doing may not what they think they should be doing in their life. I mean, who am I to say what another person should be doing? But at the same time, if they're just positive people, that's my thing. If they're positive people, you know, they're not hating on nobody, or, you know, they just overall good people, I'm cool with that, you know, because maybe those good people may highly support you. You know, because not everybody's called to do certain things. Some people call to lead. Some people call to follow. Some people call to support. Some people call to do, you know, many things.
Oh, I'm not saying, because, I mean, I agree. I'm not going to say that, oh, well, he works at McDonald's, so I'm not going to talk to him. Like, he's not even worthy of my time. I'm not like that. My thing is, it really depends on what kind of person you are. And it's like, if you're going to be a good friend and you're going to stand by me, I don't care where you work at. you know, as long as you have a very positive attitude and you actually are just a generally good person, that's fine. But if you're the kind of person who's going to try to influence me negatively, because you know how misery loves company, like you'll have women who will purposely befriend women so that they can pull them into whatever it is that they're doing. Like, you know, women that can't, that don't have success in relationships, they will sit there and they'll take one of their friends and try to give them bad advice so that all their relationships will fall apart, so that they can, you know, all sit around and just talk about how, oh, there's no good men out there, and, you know, they can just run around and complain about men all day, and they can have their little single ladies alliance.
Single ladies alliance. Oh, God.
I mean,
that alliance needs to die.
I mean, that's how it is, especially in the Black community. There's a lot of, you know, there was this one social club that I was in, and it was fun, and I liked it, but at the same time, it was just a bunch of women from 25 to damn near 55, all single women, couldn't find a man, didn't really have much going for themselves, and most of the time, they just talked about how men were no good, and I was just like, all of them had failed relationships, and I was like, I don't want to surround myself with people like that. I just can't, because all that's going to do, all that negative energy is going to affect me, and I'm going to end up, you know, projecting that into the world, and I'm going to go out there with that attitude, though, well, there's no good men out there, or look at them, I'm never going to be married, I'm never going to have a husband, I'm never going to, you know, have a relationship that lasts longer than 3 months, and then I'll just sit there and be with them and just be every single weekend hanging out with those ladies and, you know, not really succeeding in relationships. And I can't do that.
You got to watch who you're hanging around. I mean, that's the truth. That's why I stay with myself or me and my wife, or like I say, I have, you know, two friends, you know, and they already dudes, you know, but like I said, I just don't fool everybody like that because, you know, I'm really real leery of people on a good day. I just really am. I mean, because I don't like people getting too close to me. I just don't. I mean, because I don't know intentions. I don't know what you're capable of. I don't know anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm kind of I've always described myself as almost like the lone wolf type, because I have people that I associate with and I have friends, but I really like to spend time by myself because I think that I'm my own greatest influence. Like, I am constantly trying to educate myself and trying to push towards whatever it is that's going to happen in my future. And I don't really, I mean, I have a lot of people that I hang out with on the weekends, but Monday through Thursday is just me focusing on me. And I have people that, you know, I hang out with and I associate with, but I wouldn't consider them my best friends. Like, to me, a friend is somebody I've known for at least 2 years, but that's just me, because I don't like to let people in that, like, I just don't like to let people in that much, just from experience.
Yeah.
And I don't like to have a ton of people hovering around me, because it gets annoying, because then you're not even going to have any time to focus on work. You're going to be so busy running around with your little friends, and you're not going to get anything done, because you'll be sitting there. You know, you got to go hang out with someone, Susie on Tuesday, Marcy on Wednesday, Frank on Friday. Like, you just don't have any time because you'll be so busy, you know, really just doing idle nonsense. Now, it's okay to have fun on the weekends, but you can't make that your life.
No, because that's expensive.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of a chill out at the house type of person. I'm not really a going out all the time type of person. So it's not really expensive. But at the same time, if you're sitting there and you spend your entire day hanging out with somebody, that almost is kind of like wasting money. Because you're not really focusing on getting anything done.
Exactly. Yeah, because most of the people who are out here working hard and doing what they got to do, they really don't have time to be hanging out like that.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I have time. Like, that's why I try to work my hardest on Monday through Thursday, and then Friday through Sunday, I'm just doing whatever. You know, that's my hangout time. But I still take you know, I mean, most in, I mean, I try to work all the time if I can, no matter what, even if it's not, you know, if I'm not even working on blog posts or whatever, I'm taking my time to network and meet different people. So I'm constantly working. Like, that's just me. I'm always in work mode. And some people are turned off by that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's...
Let me see, Ms. Gabrielle. I got a call, 480 area code. Let's see what this is. 480 area code.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Doing well. How about you?
Excuse me?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fine. You got a question?
Yeah. Have you ever seen this book called, it's called Guerrilla Marketing?
Guerrilla Marketing?
Yeah, it's like inexpensive ways to market your small business or...
Yeah, I actually heard about that. I actually heard about that on my web post about guerrilla marketing, actually.
Yeah, because there's a guy, he does a blog talk show, too. But I saw him, he started as a YouTuber, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now he doesn't even work, like, a regular job anymore. This is all he does. He has a website, and he quit his job, and now all he does is what he started out on YouTube. It's pretty neat.
You must be making a good income from it, actually. Well, they got some people that are actually on YouTube and having their own sites and stuff like that. They're making real good money. I mean, it's better to work for yourself anyway than working for somebody else. Because you'll work so hard for other people, and then they just kick you to the curb, you know, and don't care.
He started out like a personal trainer, and then I think, you know, slowly, you know, he started doing his own business. Now he doesn't work for anyone anymore. It's pretty neat.
What is his name?
Sean Craxton, or Croxton. He's underground wellness.com.
Okay, Sean Clarkston?
Croxton. If you go to Underground Wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spoke to you about him before, like when I called, like a long time ago, but it was for something different.
Okay. Undergroundwellness.com is his website. That's the name of it, correct?
Yeah,
holistic health and nutrition.
Yeah, he has his own like studio now, like actual studio where he does like, you know, interviews and his show and stuff. And it's pretty neat.
Okay.
I've seen him start, you know, this with a, you know, webcam and, like, you know, just in his kitchen or whatever and talking about stuff. Now he's, like, full-blown, like, business owner with employees.
Yeah, he's a is he bald-head African-American fellow?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at his site right now. I was looking at him. And,
yeah.
But that's good. That's good. I'm sure.
Like, a lot of what he says, you know, like, with his nutrition. Since you're talking about business, you know, I was mentioning it, like, what he did with his business.
Well, that's good. I mean, shoot, that's good to work for self, because these companies, like they say, they can do you so wrong, and you can put in so much work for these companies, and they just lay you off. They can take your benefits from you, whatever. And like, the more and more I'm seeing, it's better just to try to be your own boss. I mean, that way you take off when you want to take off, you work late as you want to work. It's, you know, it's just a better, you know, avenue, you know, to do.
Have you heard about this lady at Walgreens? I think it happened, I don't know how long ago it was. She's having a diabetic, about to have a diabetic seizure, and she felt it coming on. She grabbed a bag of something like candy or something to eat it.
Uh huh.
So she wouldn't go in diabetic shop.
Uh huh.
And they fired her for death.
Really?
Just dropped her. Just, and she's, you know, she could have, you know, she needed that. She paid for it after, you know, she ate it. Like, but they fired her anyway. It's like, these companies don't care about you.
And so, okay, so this woman's going to go into diabetic shock. She grabbed some candy. She paid for it, and yet they fired her for theft.
Well, she ate it before she paid for it. That's why they fired her.
Okay, so how are you going to pay for something and you go into diabetic shock?
Yeah. I don't get that. Yeah. They went through, well, you didn't pay for it before you ate it, so you fired. And then just dropped it. Like, these companies are soulless, you know, like,
these companies make me sick because they don't care about the regular people, you know, like me and you. They don't care about us. All they care about is their bottom line and what they make. And that's why I always say, if I ever, you know, grow in a business to a certain point, I believe in treating people like human beings. Like, I believe in, you know, you need to give your employees bonuses. You need to, you know, you got a business to run, yes, but you need to give your employees the best health care. You need to treat people like human beings, and believe it or not, just a little bit appreciation for people and treating them right, you'll get people that will never leave your side. And that's, and these companies don't care. That's why it's a revolving door. You never see the same employee more than a year.
And the CEOs don't care. They run the company into the ground. You know, they still get their bonus. They don't care if the company's doing well or not. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's being successful in the wrong way, because they got people who are successful, but yet they step on so many people's toes and hurt so many people to do it. I've seen people do that a lot. They want to get to the top. They'll screw you. They'll screw me. They'll screw everybody just to get there.
Just look at JCPenney's, you know, the CEO of JCPenney. He just ruined that company. Like, I would give them more than 2 years for this.
You know, I was reading up on JCPenney the other day, and he was talking about so many stores they're about to start closing. It's so many companies that I didn't realize was in trouble. They were saying Best Buy about to start closing a lot of stores, Arena and Yahoo. Like I said, JCPenney, Sears is another one. Of course, the Barnes & Noble is almost about to tank. I mean, it's so many companies.
Barnes & Noble, they're just changing their business model. They're like, fine. They're not going to have like a... I think they're going to get rid of, like, physical bookstores. They're just going to do, like, basically like Amazon's doing.
Yeah, they say Amazon's been putting a lot of them out of business. They were saying, like, for the stores, they said actually the Internet has been putting a lot of people out of business, and actually them cutting stores save them money, because everybody these days want to order more online than they actually want to do to physically go walk into the store.
Yeah, it's just cheaper, and you don't have to pay tax most of the time. And you know, it's more convenient. You can see, you know, you have reviews of the product, and it's a lot easier.
It is. It is. Every time I buy something, I look at the reviews and see what people say. You know, they say, because a few things I've stopped buying because they say, oh, this particular equipment sucks. You know, like, oh, I'm not buying that. You know, if all you got 80 people saying it sucks, you know.
If you go into a store, you know, to an employee, they'll lie to you and say, oh, yeah, it's the best thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great, you know. Shoot, everybody buy this from me. You don't know nobody buying that from you. You got overstock in the back. Let me talk about that. Ms. Gabriella, now do they do the same thing in clothing stores for women?
As in
lying to you about how great the clothes are, but yet you go online and they say the clothes suck?
I've never had that happen before. I usually go and look at reviews before I purchase anything, but that's just me.
Because some people don't want to shop online. Some people don't, believe it or not.
Oh, well, I shop online because, I mean, I already know my measurements, and I know, I look at reviews before I do things. I'm actually more of an online person. I'll go to stores if I can, but since I'm so short, it's kind of hard to find stuff in my size.
So you have to shop at, what, petite stores?
I don't shop in petite stores. So that's kind of like more of mom clothes. Anybody's like 30 and older.
Uh-huh.
But, I'll generally shop on Asian websites because their clothes are actually made for smaller people.
I got you.
Yeah.
I buy my glasses online, all my prescription glasses. I don't ever go to any physical, like Lens Crafters, any of those. I buy them online. It's cheaper.
Well, I do that with my contacts because I wear contacts. I go to discountcontactlenses.com, and I order mine, and I'm good to go. I just go to the doctor just to get my prescription. That's it.
Yeah. It's $50, $60 for a prescription.
Well, mine usually run me like about close to 70 because I have astigmatism on one of my eyes. So I order one normal and one with astigmatism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm downloading that book now because he keeps talking about it. I see what he did with it, so I'm going to read it, see what, you know, what it's about. It's called Guerrilla Marketing 4th Edition. They have it for, like, the Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a Kindle, but, you know, you can read Kindle books on anything, like an iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
I see what he deal with it, so I'm going to see it. How he grows the business. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, because there's so many things you could do to, you know, to grow your business and make it more successful, but it, like, it costs money. I mean, you got to pay. You have to pay. Yeah. It ain't nothing free.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a lot cheaper than it used to be. You can, you know, how you, you know, if you have an office, like, from your house or whatever, you can actually have get an 800 number with operators, and, you know, it's only like $10, $20 a month just for that, and it's they give you a certain number, and then you call, they call the number, and then the operator see what number it's from, and they'll say, oh, this is such and such office, how many help? And, you know, it's easier to, it's a lot easier than, you know, paying employees and, you know, have a call center or, you know, like a front desk or whatever. There's a lot of things you can do to, like, save money.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, if you really want to be, like, successful in some sort of business, this is what I'm learning, because I'm learning all the bumps in the road and all this stuff. Like I said, I started my website. There's so many things I've been learning, you know, about web hosts and different things about your website. And, you know, I, like, for instance, I found a better web host, so I'm going to switch my site over to them because they have a better deal and better terms of service. And it's just so many things you learn along the way, but as you go along, you know, it gets better with time.
And just one thing about the website, if you're like people who want to build a website and they have a name in mind, don't look for the name, domain name under GoDaddy, because they'll take it and say, it's available, and then you try to host, you know, go somewhere else and use it. It's gone. They just grabbed it up. Say, you have to get it through us now.
Oh, no. So I didn't know. I'm not going with GoDaddy. No, actually.
If you're just search, like, people who, like, search for it,
mm-hmm.
like, they go, oh, I want to, you know, I have, they have a name in mind or whatever, and they just want to see if it's available. So a lot of times they'll see a commercial for GoDaddy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll type the name in GoDaddy and see if it's available. And they'll say, yes, it's available. You know, it's only this much a month. I don't want to use GoDaddy. I'll use HostGator or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
one of other companies. They'll try to use it over there, and it's gone. So GoDaddy just grabbed it up. So you have to get it to us now.
Well, see, what you have to do, from what I was told about that, you have to get your transfer number. Once you buy a domain, it's yours for a certain amount of time. They cannot.
I'm not talking about, like, buying it. I'm talking about, like, searching for it. They'll take it up. A lot of shady companies do that. Like, they'll, if you search for a name and they see that you want it, they'll grab it up before you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, you have to get it through us, or, you know, basically extorting you, you know. Like, I don't know that they used to do that. But I don't know.
I'm not gonna fool GoDaddy. I found GoDaddy is actually the number two host out of the ten. The one I'm looking at, I was studying earlier, was justhost.com. I called them up, and also, you know, they got it where I can just transfer my site over with them, and even my domain, because my domain is good for, you know, a year. And they just say I just need to call the people I'm using now, which is Network Solutions, to transfer my stuff over.
I used to use Network Solutions years ago.
Well, what you didn't like about them?
Well, I just gave it the little site I used to run. I just gave it up. So there's nothing bad about them.
I'm gonna tell you what I don't like about them. I'm gonna tell you right now what I don't like about them, and why I'm in the process as tomorrow getting the process going to leave them. The first time I got my site set up. It's my web designer put everything the way I liked it and everything, and they said, they had shut me down. I said, why did they shut me down for? Because I woke up one morning and noticed they shut me down. I called them, and they said, a hacker or something got a hold to a form on your site and using it to spam, like a bunch of outgoing emails. I said, what? So they said, you need to install a CAPTCHA on it, on the form, and then just send us a note, you know, an email telling us you're done, and we'll turn it back on. It's fine. I'm like, my guy, he did that, whatever. He said, I only have one form on my site, which is my contact. That's the only form I have. Mm-hmm. And I verified he put it on there. I saw it. He used the most popular captcha you can use for WordPress sites. I mean, it's the most famous one. Fine. No problem. I go to See It Today. Same thing again. Call in. I say, you know what? I said, oh, hell no. I'm done with Network Solutions. I'm not playing games with them. I'm taking people like Fence. I had a guy earlier call in and say, hey, man, I went to your site today, and it said temporary unavailable. I'm like, what? But I already knew what that's about. I saw it early this morning. I said, so I'm already in the process of taking care of that. But Network Solutions just lost me as a customer. That's just basically what he did. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play these games with them. And, you know, and also, JustHost.com offered me a better price, $60 for a year. Versus Network Solutions, just go ahead.
I used to pay a lot more than that years ago, like back in the early 2000s. I paid like, what was it, like $200-$300, I think.
For a year?
I can't remember exactly how much it was. $300. Yeah, it was a lot. But, you know, web hosting used to be a lot more expensive earlier on.
Well, shoot, Network Solutions been charging me $36 a month for their premium package. And like I said, when I called these people today, they went ahead and told me, no, $60 for the year. And I'm like, well, shoot. And I did the research, and they are the number one host before GoDaddy. And I said, well, I'm going to go with them then. I say, why should I stick with Network Solutions charging me almost $37 a month?
Yeah, it's like, do they get the same, like, bandwidth and everything?
Yeah, unlimited. Unlimited.
Unlimited bandwidth. Hmm.
Yeah.
$60 unlimited. A year?
$59.40, so I had to say 60 for 12 months. You can get more than that if you want. I read up on it because I wanted to research what was the top 10 web hosts. Because I was telling them today, I can't have these issues with, you know, people coming to me saying, hey, man, what's your site and, you know, what happened? Like, cause that pisses me off. It pisses me royally off, cause especially when I didn't do it. It pisses me off. And, you know, I talked to them today and they say, well, you know, if a hacker does something, we can't stop it. You know, we can just.
They're supposed to stop it. It hosts, like.
Yeah, so you're only paying to have your site hosted. That's all you're paying for. You're not paying for, you know, for them to stop. Now, you can add services where they can scan your website to make sure that you have no vulnerabilities so you can fix it. But they're not there to be firewall for you.
Yeah, like the police or whatever.
Yeah, and then I looked into it. I say, well, I was wondering if I needed an SSL connection. I say, no, that's only good for credit cards and stuff like that. If you're going to take credit cards on your site, which I'm not going to do that. Also, I just found out. Huh?
You can use like Google Wallet or Amazon if you want
to. Yeah, and then I just found out I have to create a privacy policy for my site that I didn't know I had to create. Because it was stating that I have to pay for this privacy service as well, because in certain states like California, when they put any information in my contact form and something was to happen, I'm liable. So I didn't know that. So it's a lot of education that I'm learning with this website that I did not know. But like I say, it's along the way of trying to. But once I get it all going good, I'm good.
There's a lot of states where you have to if you're under 13, you have to have a parent sign off on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly how it went, but like if you have someone under 13 on your site and they sign up on it, you have to have a parent do it. If they're on the form or whatever, there are like a couple of states to do that. But.
Well, I need to find out about the privacy also, even though I don't really post any nudity or nothing like that, but I know that some sites, if you have any nudity, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, the next screen that comes saying, oh, you must be 18, click here. And, you know, then you can watch the particular video. So I don't know if that's, you know, in accordance with law or that just, you know, I don't know. I'm still learning, but I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, have a good night.
All right, man. Thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm.
/706 area code. How you doing? You on the show? Oh, well, I guess they cut off. They cut off. Yeah, so Alex, you see, you hear all the woes of having a website. I'm with Gabriella. It's a job to keep up with all this stuff. You know, you're trying to stay in accordance with, you know, your policies and then the law and everything. I mean, so if you decide to go down that road, be prepared.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm already getting into that myself, but I use Blogger, so I don't have to deal with any of those issues. So that's just me.
Oh, using Blogger? Okay, through Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't have any problems. I mean, it's unlimited bandwidth. My domain only costs like $10 a month.
Oh, you're paying for a month?
I'm going to start getting into... Not a month, a year. I'm actually going to just... I'm working on trying to push towards my own, like, getting advertisements and being able to do reviews for companies and things like that. So we'll see what happens.
Or, like, since you got a blog, you know, you can sign up for affiliate programs, don't you, correct?
Oh, yeah, I want to sign up for that. I don't know where to start.
You can start. This one website I'm using. It's Commission Junction. It was at CJ.com. And what you do, you apply for all these different affiliates. And that's how I've been getting mine, through them.
Getting what?
My affiliates. Like, you know, like, for instance, I had just got the Blog Talk Radio affiliate. I recently... We have Adobe, Creative, DollarDays.com. Of course, I apply for other ones like AT&T, Walgreens, all the other ones. But you apply, and then some accepts you right out of the back. Some you have to wait for. I mean, it just depends. You know, but you can just try. And they will accept you on your blog and stuff like that. And then you put the widgets, and you put the HTML coding. Now, yours is HTML coding?
Yeah.
Okay, you put the HTML coding on there, and then... As people either buy something, or I don't know how it may work, click or buy something, you get like a revenue from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how you can make money from your blogs and your websites, through affiliates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are through Google. What's this Google? I don't know, is Google AdSense? Some of them are through them, or they got all kind of different programs. I know Netflix, theirs is through Google. And then do you play videos on your blog?
I'm actually gonna start doing that. I'm gonna start getting into making more videos and things. But yeah, I do.
Are you gonna do YouTube videos and embed them, or you wanna do your own video player?
Oh, I make YouTube videos and then embed them into.
Okay, so you embed the YouTube videos. Okay. Mm-hmm. The reason why I decided to get my own video player to pay for once a month is I wanted to be able to post what I wanted to post without worrying about somebody saying, you can't post that, I'm going to flag that, or copyright, we got to remove that. I want to be able to post what I want. If somebody beating somebody down, I can post it. It's my site. And I'm like, what's the point of having your own website if you can't post what you want?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to follow YouTube's rules. So... That's the purpose of me doing that. And I had went with Bright Cove, and Bright Cove was one of the number one players in the industry as well. I did research that. And so they give you a free trial for a month. You can try it out, see how you like it. Then once you see how it works and everything, then what you can do is they got a bunch of different levels. The $99 level, $199 and up. Now, from the $199 and up, you can actually put ads on there that you can get paid once a month, kind of like YouTube. Or you can just stay with the $99 a month if you want to and just use the affiliate programs, whatever. But it's also optimized for mobile. I think that's why I went Bright Cove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where was this? Awesome.com. Anyway, so I see I'm looking for look. You got what 20 minutes left in the show? I'm looking at 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm looking at that time went by quick. This person looking. Hey, Delano, if you're listening right now, I'm looking at you in the chat room. You the same dude from YouTube, right? I mean, let me know in the chat room. I just want to make sure. Because the name sounds familiar. Well, I'm tell you what I did today, though. Yeah, they wanted me to make dinner today. I said, forget it. I ain't done this in a minute. I went ahead and made some Frito pie for everybody.
I don't even want to know what that is.
You don't know what Frito pie is?
You know what? I don't know what Frito pie is. I don't know what them syrup sandwiches are either.
Oh, well, we can explain that. But anyway, Frito pie is basically Fritos. And then, of course, I took ground turkey. And I took the ground turkey, drained a little bit, it's off the ground turkey. And I took the turkey chili.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them together. You know, I, of course, had to thin it out just a little bit, season it up. And then what you do, you put the, once that's cooked down right, you put your layer of Fritos, your layer of chili, your layer of shredded cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go same thing, chips, chili, cheese. Put it in the oven to melt the cheese real good.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's your Frito pie. Of course, you can put onion in it, but, you know, the girls, they did not want onion. They don't like onion. I mean, I love onion, but they didn't want it, so I didn't put it in there.
I would just put it on my side, but that's just how I do it.
You put it on where?
Like, whenever I make a recipe, I usually will do something. Like, I'll have, like, my vegetarian half, and then I'll have, like, everybody else's.
Well, let me think. You can't eat. Oh, okay. You eat. Oh, I didn't know you was the last one they called, dude, Delano. I didn't even know it was you, bro. Okay, cool. So do you eat ground turkey?
No.
Okay, so you can't. So you eat Morningstar stuff then, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, but you know,
I eat fish, but that's it.
You know, that Morningstar, those sausage are good.
I mean, all this stuff is good. I mean,
it is. You wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know that it was good, that Morningstar stuff. It's like my wife had took, you know, the organic eggs, and she took the Morningstar, and, you know, she was making that for breakfast one morning, and shoot, it was great. It was great.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm not missing anything. Some people are like, oh, you're missing out, but I'm like, the imitation stuff is just as good as the regular stuff, so.
Now, Delano, he's saying Morningstar is junk. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I'm not saying you should eat it all the time. It's not great for you. It's not something. I mean, there's a lot of salt and junk in it, too. So it's not something you should eat all the time because it is processed food. So you can't eat it every single day because that microwave food will kill you. But, I'll have it maybe once a week or whatever, or maybe a couple times a week. I don't, you know, I follow more of my diet is more just fish and rice and beans and cheese and. Like I eat more of a Mediterranean diet more than anything.
And you don't have to exercise and your weight.
Oh, I mean, I do exercise. It's just very light. It's very light exercise, and my weight stays fine. Like, I haven't gained a single pound back. But that's just me.
So you don't eat no turkey, no chicken.
Uh-uh.
Of course, no red meat or pork. I got that.
No. But that's what I have to do because. In our family, we gain weight very fast. And I read in this book called Eat Right for Your Type, and it was about how you should eat for your blood type. Mm-hmm. It suggested that people with blood type A shouldn't eat a diet that's heavy in meat. It's better to get into a diet that's vegetarian because when you're vegetarian, you don't have to exercise as much and you're able to, you know, keep your weight down. But a vegetarian diet is not good for people who are trying to build muscle. I'm just trying to stay slim, so that's not my, you know, that's not something I'm worried about.
What do they say about people with B positive?
B positive? I don't know. I don't have a book.
Oh, okay. I thought you kind of knew.
Oh, no. I mean, I read, you know, the blood type A thing, and I memorized everything, but that's all I know.
See, like, my problem, like with weight, whatever, is, like, starches is my enemy. It's starch. It's not meat. It's starch. Like, rice.
That's weird.
Rice, potatoes, anything bread is like the enemy. I can even eat wheat bread. It's still the enemy for me. Like, if I strip starch from my diet, I won't gain a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing starchy. Just I can eat meat till the cows come home if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the bread, it goes right to my midsection quick.
That's kind of the opposite for me because I eat like nothing but pasta, and
I can't do it.
I mean, I eat pasta and cheese and all kind of stuff and salt, and I don't gain any weight. But like, I have a cousin that she started eating them steakums and stuff all the time, and next thing you know, like, boom, all the weight came back. So I just can't, like, it just depends on your genetics.
Yeah, because, like, another thing I noticed, like, when you eat organic foods versus non-organic, it makes me, like, non-organic make me feel bloated. Literally, it makes me feel bloated. Me and my wife both said that it makes us feel bloated. And when you go to organic, all of a sudden the bloatiness goes away. Like, the girls, they dropped 10 pounds, like, easy, just going to organic milk, organic, you know, everything. You know, brown rice, stuff like that. I mean, it was just amazing. It's, like, to the point now that it's like, you eat something that is not organic, it's like your body knows it. And that sucks.
Oh, yeah, the body does know. Like, if you eat a bunch of junk, like, you're sitting there drinking soda all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Processed food will mess you up, because I used to eat a lot of those Morningstar products. That was just, like, my whole fridge was full of those microwave vegetarian foods. And that really messed me up. And I was trying to figure out, I'm eating healthy, why am I not losing weight? And I had to cut back on that stuff, and then automatically, like, the problem was that I was holding on to water weight because of all the salt in those microwave foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just, like, cut back on it and start to go into more, cooking things from scratch, because I need to know exactly what's going into my food. And then, you know, I started losing weight again, and I was able to get my stomach to go down. So that was just my thing, because I can't have too much salt in my diet, because it'll just make me bloat.
Yeah, I mean, salt, sodium makes you retain water. That's for sure. And I know when you get too much sodium, you can, you know, get rid of it definitely by changing your diet or taking a good diuretic and then get all the excess water out your system. But yeah, for me, it's like no starches, and I have to work out. If I do not work out, if I stop working out for a week or two, I would gain weight quick. I mean, it's like my body type frustrates me so much. It really does, because I have a mesomorph body type. That mm-hmm. body type lose weight fast and gain weight fast and build muscle quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the body type I have. The part of the gaining weight fast, what I don't like, because I can drop 5 pounds like it ain't nothing. Like, just change my diet, get on the treadmill, get on the, you know, whatever, and hit the weights, I'm dropping pounds. You know, but the moment I stop or I eat some bread, I'm telling you, when I eat bread, I can literally feel it, like, go around my midsection. Literally. Like, you can feel your pants get tighter if I eat bread. Is that crazy?
My body type is kind of like, I'm kind of like the in-between, where it's kind of like a mesomorph. I'm not really, I mean, I can gain muscle fast, but it takes forever to lose weight. That's not my problem.
Yeah. Well, see, women body types.
So actually, I'm more of an endomorph, actually.
Well, I thought women body types are different.
I mean, everybody has the same three, you know, the mesomorph, endomorph, and ectomorph, whatever. It just depends on where you store your fat at. That's you know, that's where it is. At least that's what I've read.
Because I thought, like, women body types were, well, I know, in, like, what, you got the pear-shaped body type?
No, that's different. I mean, I'm talking about, like, just how the mesomorph and the endomorph and the ectomorph and all that stuff, that's just, that's gender neutral. Mm-hmm. Our body, that's our body shape, where we have the apple, pear, cello, whatever. I'm hourglass, so it's actually a lot harder to maintain that figure more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there isn't a lot of stuff out there, because that's a really rare body type, so you have to so I have to constantly make sure I exercise my top and lower half. Like, I use free weights, and I use an elastic band, and I also do, you know, squats and lunges and all that stuff too. So it's like, it's a constant struggle. It's not, you know, it's not something I can just, you know, overnight type thing.
Yeah.
And what bothers me is that people keep coming to me asking how to lose weight, but I'm just like, I can't help you. I really can't, because I figured out what works for me, and what works for me is not good for everybody, because I can't tell you how many times I sat there and typed out literally 2 or 3 pages of information for somebody, and they're like, oh, I can't use this. Because they're like, oh, I don't want to have to do this every single day. I don't want to have to be a vegetarian. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. Figure it out on your own.
Well, some people, you know, believe it. Well, some people, they are just carnivores. I mean, bad carnivores. And they cannot, you know, cut meat out of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, you know, I know for me, I'm not that much of a meat eater. I can eat ground turkey fine. I can eat a veggie burger fine. That don't bother me none. I mean, I don't have to have that. Now, you know, one sister made a video recently. It was talking about Whole Food markets. And they were stating that how Whole Food markets aren't located in urban areas. And I didn't think about it. I said, you know what, it is true. Like, you know, healthy stores like that. Like, for instance, like, they have one over there off of Kirby on the southwest side of 59. Then they got one in Sugar Land that I know of also, Whole Foods. And I think, what's the other Central Market is the other one, right?
I don't really know, because I kind of will just go and get stuff from the farmer's market, and I, you know, I'll get the discount fruits and vegetables at the store, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, like, we were all looking at the organic milk today. $6.18. It's like they won't... It's crazy how, you know, we would say, man, it's like some sort of government conspiracy.
There's a special on there. There's actually been several documentaries. There's a documentary called The Weight of the Nation that I was watching recently. And it's almost like there is a conspiracy to keep people fat, because the more unhealthy something is, the cheaper it is. You can go and get yourself a ton of food for $5. But if you want to take that same $5 to an organic food store, you can only buy one item. It's that. You know, olive oil costs, depending on how much you get, it can cost from $6 to $18. So there's almost like a system in place there.
Yeah. You know, it's like you would think, okay, the foods with no chemicals in it would cost less money because they're not adding the chemicals.
Oh, no. But it's easier to mass produce when you use those chemicals. That's why they do that.
That's why I think we're having all this cancer. Because they say they can't find a cure to cancer. I really think it's these chemicals, preservatives, and all this stuff they add to the food. Because back in the day, people ate more organically. Like, for instance, they killed their animals on the farm themselves. They had their own eggs, their own chickens. They had their own hogs. They, you know, had all their own, you know, fruits and vegetables from the garden and from the tree. This is like how they, you know, back in the day. Now, you know, you go to the store and all this stuff's chemically treated. You know, these animals are having all these preservatives and steroids or whatever, and all these people catching cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's horrible.
I mean, but you can also eat antioxidants to help prevent cancer cells from forming. So,
well, see, my wife works with cancer, and she knows all about every cancer you could think of. And she was saying that actually all of us have cancer cells. It's just the fact that they are active or not.
Yeah. It just depends on what kind of food you eat. That's what, you know, gets the cancer started. So if you eat, like, I drink tea all the time to help prevent that. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Because I know that I could be susceptible to cancer, so I watch my diet. And I, you know, I'm also susceptible to gaining weight very quickly. Like, I can literally gain 50 pounds in a year without even trying.
Sure, that sounds like me right there. It wouldn't take much.
It would not take anything. I can gain like 10 pounds in a week. It's just, that's just the way that my body type is. But yeah. I can also lose weight fast. Well, it's not even fast, but, you know, it's noticeable when I lose weight, but it takes a while and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just try not to let myself get so big that I can't control it, because that's the problem. Because I don't want to because I have people that I know that once you get to, you know, a certain, like, you get to 160 on a 5'2" frame, it's really hard to get rid of that weight, and it shows. You know, I can't weigh any more than 120 pounds without looking horrible. Because I'm only 4'10", so that's just me.
Yeah, you know, I seen a friend of ours the other day. Oh, boy, she had me laughing. She's about the same height, you know, as you are. And, boy, she something else. Oh, you got something to say. Always, you know, she acts like she's just 6 feet tall and always pussing.
And, oh, that's how I am, too.
You know, it's like, little bitty thing, you know. You know, she come driving. You see her driving and whatever. Then you see her get out of the car like, oh, God. Where's the rest? You know, teaser, like, where's the rest of you? Shut up. I mean, she made,
that's how I act, too, because I'm so short. But it's like when you're short, you gotta have that extra little bite to you, because then people are going to walk all over you. They're like, oh, she's so small, so I can take advantage. So you got to, you know.
Yeah, it's like my wife, she's like, 5'2", and she looks like towering over her at 5'2". That's crazy. But like, shoot, man, my daughter, that I'm sick of her growing. I'm tired of it. That girl's like 5'8", and she ain't stopped growing yet. I mean, it's hard to find this girl clothes. I mean, it's like, she went and bought a dress the other day at Rue 21, and because he was going to her cousin's 15th party, Kentietta party. And anyway, that was funny. It's like, this girl come with a dress and say, that shit, it ain't gonna work with her. She's too tall. So she put it on. I said, oh, no. Y'all gotta figure something else out. I said, she's not walking around like that. And then they're like, oh, Philip tripping. Like, yeah, I'm tripping. You ain't walking around here like that. I mean, she's tall and slender. I mean, she's like, I mean, she's serious in getting the modeling. I mean, she's 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, like I said, I just shake my head. I said, Lord, I gotta watch this girl. You know, because the boys, you know, want to come out. Yeah, seriously.
That's what every single man says. It's like, I don't want to have a daughter. I don't have to fight the boys off.
Yeah, it's crazy.
My dad's like that with me, but
the main thing you worry about with your daughter is for them to not to get pregnant.
I mean, just raise your daughter right, and she'll just make the right decision. That's all you got to do. Cause, I mean, as long as you let your daughter know that you love her and that you care about her, she's not going to go out there in them streets looking for these little raggedy boys.
Well, she's not like that, though. I mean, she thinks, you know, twerking is gross. She thinks these hood rats that they do is filthy. So she's right in her head. Her mama, you know, made sure she... You know, taught her right. She grew up in an environment that, you know, is very morality oriented, and she has value. They have values, and like I said, they are not like a lot of these kids today. And thank God they're not. You know, because Lord Jesus, I don't think I could deal with them kids like they are today. I mean, I was raised from the old school. You get your behind beat.
Kids these days are something else. Boy, I tell you. Like, I'm sometimes I'll be laying in my living room taking a nap, and the kids outside will be out there banging on trash cans. They were talking about some We Are the Magic something, and they were like, they had picked up trash cans, and they were banging them and walking across the street, and they were like lighting firecrackers under people's cars, cursing like sailors. Like, this little boy has said the most disgusting. I can't even repeat what this little boy said to me one day. He had said something to me that even a grown man wouldn't say. It was that disgusting.
I can believe it, because they raise them like animals. That's how they raise them. They don't teach them. I was saying that in that video I put up by them kids acting a fool at that mall. They raise them like animals. They don't teach them morality. They don't teach them manners. They don't teach them self-respect. They don't teach them to respect other people's property. You know, they don't teach them nothing. They raise them like animals. Then they get mad when people say they act like animals. You know, but it's an accurate description. Like a wild animal who don't, you know, have, you know, sense. But with that said, I want to thank everyone for watching the show and listening to the show tonight. Gabrielle, you got anything you want to say before we go?
already posted my fan page in the chat box. So if you're interested in connecting with me, you can like me. You can like the fan page, and everything that I'm affiliated with is on there.
Okay, and also, you know, you can find me at on Twitter at The Advised Show, YouTube, The Advised Show TV, and Ratchet Video Weekly. Make sure you watch that channel if you wanted to see some Ratchet videos. I'm having fun on that channel. And also my website, advisedshow.com. If you, you know, for instance, don't see it up, like I said, for right now, we're doing some changes, but probably should be back up tomorrow. So, and we'll definitely catch you next week. And we definitely appreciate everyone joining us, and you stay blessed and have a great week.